Scripture encourages us to think on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of a positive nature. Why? Because we so easily fill our heads with mistruths, cognitive distortions, which create negative emotions and drive us on to destructive behaviors. But how do you reform a lifetime of rotten reasoning? Are you ready for the answer? Stay tuned. Go Healthy for Good starts right now. I'm Dr. Nerida. Welcome to Go Healthy for Good. Thanks for joining us for the last part of this special series on depression. And Dr. Nedley and I have saved the best till last, so don't miss it. And we need to see what's happened to George, Marsha and Mackenzie, but first, let's hear from the pilot, Joseph.
But when I went back to the airline to go through training, it was the easiest thing I'd ever been through. The same intense training, the same environment, the same workload and everything. But I was sleeping at night. I was remembering stuff. I didn't have to review stuff twice. And when I was in the simulator doing the things that I needed to do for emergency procedures that we learn, it's a very intense training. And I was just clicking and knocking the stuff out. It was just like, it was second nature. The challenge now is, to maintain this lifestyle. So the post Dr. Nedley depression recovery 10-day recovery program that I had gone through, the difficult thing is keeping the discipline to do what you learn, because 10 days you don't establish a habit. It takes 21 days to establish a habit, providing you did it for 21 days in a row. So I developed a reward system. I love waffles. So if I did what I was supposed to do for 1 week, on Sunday I could have waffles. And that was my reward. So I created a reward system for myself. And there were days when I'd wake up in the morning and I would literally cry because I didn't want to get up. I didn't want to work out. I didn't want to do my exercises. But I didn't want to go back where I was either. As I call it, the dark side. Once you've been on that side, you don't want to go back. You know, God understands our trials and tribulations. He understands that. And you owe it to God to give 100%, to give yourself the ability to see the beauty that He gives us. And so, you really have to work hard at doing what you know works for you. And different things work for different people. But what I have learned works for me. And I'm not going back to the dark side. That's just the way it is. God created me, and God is perfect. And therefore, He created something good. I'm designed to be successful, and I'm designed to be happy. And if I'm not, then I need to look at myself in the mirror. As I said at the very beginning of this thing, I have no excuses. I didn't have abusive parents. I didn't grow up poor. I didn't grow up hungry. I didn't grow up in a country that was an abusive government. I had everything a kid could ever want. And so my problem in life have been self-generated. And it's up to me to stay away from the things that cause that. And the Nedley program has given me the tools to do that.
Going back can no longer be an option. Joining us now in the studio in Loma Linda is Dr. Neil Nadley, internal medicine physician with a special interest in brain function and depression. Let's start with the hit of having a chronic medical condition. Dr. Nadley, as we've talked about depression during this series, one of the major causes was having a medical condition. Is there anything that people can do about a medical condition? You know, we focus here on Go Healthy, looking at the lifestyle practices, and some of the depression therapy will work, won't it?
Yes, it will. And of course, there's some medical conditions where you might need some medical treatment in addition to that. For instance, if your thyroid is low, you're going to need to be put on thyroid medicine. And if your thyroid gland is already eaten up with Hashimoto's, there's no way that we can get that thyroid to produce again. And so you're going to need thyroid hormone.
But it's important to take that and to think about it as hormone replacement.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
And not to put it aside, because then you'll sink into depression and have all the cardiovascular complications.
Yes, yes. And, of course, you know, high cholesterol, for instance, that is really kind of a medical condition, but yet it responds to lifestyle. And so that's an example of medical conditions that can be reversed through lifestyle measures. Diabetes, metabolic syndrome, very much is related to depression. Sometimes we're calling it now diapression, because diabetes and depression go together. And of course, diabetes, the most common form of diabetes, is a purely lifestyle disease. Genetics loads the gun, lifestyle pulls the trigger, and then we end up with all of the complications of diabetes, one of which can be depression. And so reversing that diabetes through exercise and good nutrition and lifestyle measures can go a long way in helping the depression as well.
So you can even affect that hit.
Yes.
That's encouraging. Now, you mentioned also cognitive behavioral therapy. Tease that apart for us.
Well, cognitive behavioral therapy, cognition is a thought or a perception. And so all of us, even as you're watching this program here or we're communicating, we are all having thoughts, so we're having cognitions. And so cognitive behavioral therapy helps people to analyze their thoughts, to recognize distortions in those thoughts. It turns out there's 10 different ways of distorted thinking. And so as we learn those 10 ways, we can recognize distortions in our thoughts. Then we can reconstruct our distorted thoughts into what is true. And you know, the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so that's how we're transformed, is by the renewing of our thoughts, actually, by what is true and accurate. And then step four of cognitive behavioral therapy is to practice, practice, practice. And so we talk about the ABCs of CBT. The A is the activating event in your life that brought about the thought. That thought is really a belief. So that's the B, activating event. B is belief. And the C is the consequence. So it's not just the events in your life that have caused your emotional consequences. It's the events plus your beliefs or thoughts about that event that has produced first an emotional consequence and then a behavioral consequence. And so cognitive behavioral therapy, although it acknowledges your past A's or your activating events, it really centers in on what you can, how you can think differently now and think more accurately. And then the C's come out much more positively. And once those come out positively, then your future A's come out more positively.
So it won't be an overnight process. It'll be something that you learn to do day by day by day.
That's right.
But as you teach those 10 cognitive distortions, then people begin to recognize, they might be mid-sense. You know, they might say something like, I hate the way she does that. I just think it's so bad.
Yes.
Yeah. You might say, well, she does it that way. It's not the way I would do it. Is that kind of an example?
Yeah, that's right. Or I prefer that she not do it that way. But just put it into the to the category that it's horrible, terrible, and awful is really kind of going to the nth degree. And that's where people, we have a tendency to go sometimes. And when we're thinking along those nth degrees in the extreme bad all the time, it does adversely affect our brain. And so, you know, one of the things that depressed people often have is their thought that they can't stand something. And in reality, every human being, there's only one thing a human being cannot stand, and that's death. everything else they actually can stand. But when they tell themselves they can't stand it, they've actually gone beyond what is actually true. Now, it's all right to say they'd prefer not to have it. It might be a harassing thing. It might be, you know, something that may need to be modified, et cetera, and may need to be worked on. But to say absolutely I can't stand it, that's when emotions get out of control. We start losing our temper. We start having adverse relationships, agitation, depression, all of those things follow just because of what we call a magnified thought. It's one of the cognitive distortions is magnification and minimization. We tend to major in minors and minor in majors. And so we are taking one event, saying that we can't stand it, believing that we can't stand it, and then our emotional consequences get out of control. So we teach them even actually little songs. You know?
Okay, give us one.
Well, I don't like it, I don't like it, it's okay, I can stand it anyway, I can stand it anyway, I'm all right, I'm all right.
Wow.
And so that little song.
That is a powerful little song. Actually, I have to admit, I knew about this because I've done the program.
Okay.
I love that song. I find it so helpful in many situations. People think I'm singing Yankee Doodle because I'm only humming it, but in my head I've got the right lyrics.
There you go.
What's another cognitive distortion?
Well, another cognitive distortion is emotional reasoning. This is where, because we feel a certain way, we conclude it's true. In other words, I feel like a dud, therefore I am a dud. I feel overwhelmed and helpless, thus my problems are impossible to solve. I feel angry at Joe, and that proves that Joe has been cruel and insensitive to me. That doesn't prove that at all. But yet, emotional reasoning is something we need to correct. And so what we do is we have to get our feelings elevated to the level of our frontal lobe and then analyze what is that feeling based on, and before we start going into emotional reasoning, getting the correct thoughts can help us out of that. People that don't change their lifestyle, even though they know they should, it's emotional reasoning. They have to get rid of the cognitive distortion of emotional reasoning in order to have self-control. It's one of the crucial elements. And so if you're having issues with self-control in your life, this program would help dramatically.
So instead of your feelings driving you around all day, you actually control your feelings. Yeah,
that's right. Jonathan Martinson says it pretty well. He says, feelings are much like waves. We can't stop them from coming, but we can choose which one to surf.
I love it. Thank you.
So pause and think, which feelings do I want to surf? We still have lots to cover with Dr. Nedley on how to deal with stinking thinking. And when we come back from the break, we'll have a delicious casserole to show you. All this and more after a short break. Stay tuned.
The Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He rules the world in righteousness and judges the people with equity. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you.
Welcome back to Go Healthy for Good. Phil, how are you doing?
I'm doing terrific. It's been a good day.
Great. Hey, listen, I thought we might do a recipe out of Teenie Finley's book, Natural Lifestyle Cooking. And it's a sunflower seed casserole.
Oh, that sounds very good.
Yeah. It's wholesome and yummy. So why don't you let our viewers know what's in this recipe?
Sure. Well, you're going to start out with 2 cups of sunflower seeds, 2 cups of cashews, 3/4 cup of water, 1 cup of mushrooms, 5 cups cooked brown rice, 1 onion, 2 1/2 teaspoons of vegetable broth, 1 teaspoon of salt, 3 tablespoons Bragg's liquid aminos, and then 2 tablespoons nutritional yeast, and finally, 1/4 teaspoon garlic powder.
A lot of ingredients.
Yes.
But that's what makes it so yummy.
That means it's going to be a lot of tastes.
Exactly. So I'm going to set you to the task of
blending out the cashews with the water and the mushrooms.
Okay.
And this is not going to blend up to a really smooth cream. It's going to be kind of chunky, which makes it really yummy in the casserole.
So I'm going to dump in the cashews, the mushrooms, and the water, all
right.
of it.
Right. And everything else just gets dumped in here. Of course, I previously finely ground the sunflower seeds. So it's like a sunflower seed meal here, which is unusual, but really quick and easy, just straight in the blender. Takes just less than a minute.
You know, I heard that in other countries, while we might have popcorn in our theaters,
mm-hmm.
they eat sunflower seeds because it's healthy.
Is that right? Yeah, it is.
Now, is that the consistency you're looking
yeah,
for?
Yeah, that's it. Perfect. So I'll give you this scraper and you can empty the contents
okay.
into here. And then you can mix them up. So this is really easy. I know there are a lot of ingredients, but once you've got them all in the bowl, it's just so easy. Well worth trying this recipe.
And then you want me to just mix it all together?
Mmm. That'd be great. So then we're going to pop it into a casserole dish. I've got a half recipe here, so I've got kind of a half-sized dish. And we'll then cover it with the foil and pop it in the oven at 350 for 90 minutes, but halfway through, so about 45 minutes into it, you're going to want to take that cover off, and that'll make it nice and crispy on the top.
I think I've got these well mixed.
Great. Toss it in there. I'll hold the bowl for you.
Perfect.
It's quite heavy.
Thank you. And then I assume I just want to spread it around?
Mm, just pack it in there. And I've greased this bowl ahead of time. So that's going to, you know, once you get it out of the oven, you're going to let it cool in the dish so that it will sweat a little bit, run a knife around, and it's just going to drop out really nicely. So, yeah. Those sunflower seeds, good protein, good healthy fats, rice, some nice whole grain cereal there.
And I'm impressed with how easy that was.
Done. Yeah, very easy. So this is the finished product.
It looks gorgeous. It looks beautiful.
Mm.
This is the type of thing that I would be happy to take to any event with family or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Okay,
so can we try it?
We can.
This is something I'd be very happy to take to a family
event. Yeah. Even for people who don't eat meat, who do eat meat normally, that you give them something that is, you know, not meat, yet it's a savory, this is very acceptable.
Mm. It's got a very good taste.
Mm. It's wonderful. I love the mushrooms. Well, I hope you enjoy making this dish. Now let's take a look at this video.
We did different Bible studies and interactive things in order to compare ourselves to people in the Bible or other people that were going through similar situations and how they overcame it and just the strength that those people had that you were able to have if you choose. I enrolled back in college. I'm going to school for pharmacy, so I was able to take microbiology and organic chemistry and all the things that I needed to do in order to complete my degree. I was able to wake up every day excited to go to school and learn, and I went back to work. I'm a pharmacy technician at CVS, which adds up perfectly for my career. My family noticed a huge difference in me, and this was probably the most important, you know, part of my life that it has affected. They saw the happiness and how I had just become a whole new person. They, you know, everyone wondered like what I did to change my life. If you are feeling depressed or if you're feeling suicidal, and you feel like you have no hope, don't do what I did and wait till the last second until it's too much to handle and you make bad decisions, drastic decisions that, you know, will change your life forever or even, you know, not let you have a life. This program had such a big impact on me, and it showed me that there is hope, there is ability for happiness, and that I actually believe that all of this happened and I was able to go through all of this. I look at it almost as a blessing because I am able to help others and give them hope. You just need to seek help, and it feels at the time like you can do it on your own. Like you don't need anyone else. Nothing can solve your problems, but there is an option. You can get help, and there is a way to change your life in order to be able to live your life and enjoy it and have that love for life that you have always wanted.
From making a serious attempt on her life, now Mackenzie has a vibrant love for life. There's the power of God right there. Now let's continue the interview with Dr. Nedley. Dr. Nedley, we've just been talking about cognitive behavioral therapy and our distorted thoughts. And you know, Mackenzie's story is a really powerful example of that, really, where she found that she wasn't the only girl in the iPhone, and therefore life was not worth living.
Yes, yeah, in reality she believed in what's called A to C thinking. A to C means that your consequences, your emotional consequences, are just due to the activating events in your life. And so since she had bad activating events, her emotional consequences were severely bad, and then she thought that life wasn't worth living anymore. Right. And she didn't recognize her role in that belief part of things. And you know, Mackenzie had always been a girl that went from one relationship to another, one boyfriend to another. And of course she had some things in her development that she brought out that kind of predisposed her to that phenomena. But she ended up, you know, being on 5 medications, severely depressed, 2 big suicide attempts, one who that almost, was very serious. I mean, she really, really wanted to end her life. Yeah. And it was really a miracle that didn't happen. And then she comes to this program where first we do what's called the spa therapy, where we're giving her exercise and nutrition and hydrotherapy and fresh air and those type of things.
Right.
And then we get to the distorted thought part of things. And it was empowering for Mackenzie to realize that her happiness was not at all dependent on her relationships. In fact, one of the things that we told her as she began to discover this is, Mackenzie, you need to make yourself boyfriend-proof. You know, because it was these boys that were in the relationships that ended up sabotaging her. And she needed to work on improving her own mental health. So that means she even needed to get a new wardrobe, so to speak. Attractive girl dressed provocatively can end up with boyfriends that are unwanted. She actually has done that. So a girl that went from one boyfriend to another now has not had a single boyfriend since. And you can tell by the look on her face, this is a happy girl. And the wonderful thing is, to be happily married, we first must be happily single. Mackenzie is happily single. She's doing well in school. She's going to be a success. And I have no doubt that now that her frontal lobe is improved, she is going to one day be very happily married.
Well, that's a wonderful, wonderful example of how cognitive distortions can either derail you. Cognitive truth.
Yes.
Just uplifts you.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, the other big hit, which we did touch on before, was the frontal lobe and how the circulation in the frontal lobe can be down by 30-80% in depression. So we really need to focus on the health of our frontal lobes. Where would we start with that?
Well, a good way to start with the health of our frontal lobes is to get rid of the health destroying, sabotaging effects on the frontal lobe. So whether it's music, whether it's entertainment television, whether it's video games or pornography or whatever it is, we need to quit the things that are sabotaging our frontal lobe circulation. And then we need to start replacing them with things that enhance the frontal lobe of the brain.
So we're not just removing
That's right.
We're in the business of replacing.
Exactly.
So what are we going to replace those things with?
Well, one of the things that is very helpful is actually the study of the Word of God. It's the seat of spirituality, morality, and the will.
Right.
So as we study spiritual themes that are positive, particularly things like gratitude, self-control, self-sacrificing love, etc., these are things that the frontal lobe can begin to grasp and begin to analyze, and there actually can be a spiritual renewal that helps to enhance the frontal lobe. Music, the right type of music therapy can assist tremendously with this process. And then there's even things like certain games that can enhance the frontal lobe of the brain, where it's analytical type of games, etc., that can be helpful, and a host of other things.
Well, we're going to leave that for a moment, but thank you. The largest lobe in the brain is the frontal lobe, and one-third of the brain is composed of frontal lobes, so what we're talking about today is so important. When we come back from the break, we'll have the final session with Coach Parker, but first, today's news. Stay with us. We are at the University of Maryland, and I'm talking today with Dr. Hinda Dubin, a psychiatrist. Dr. Dubin, we're seeing depression moving into the younger age groups, and especially into women who are in the reproductive years, planning a pregnancy, or already pregnant. How do you deal with the depression in pregnancy problem, or the depression in someone who's planning a pregnancy?
Those are great questions, and actually two separate questions. The woman who comes to you who's already pregnant and depressed requires one set of treatments, and the woman who comes to you and isn't yet pregnant and is depressed needs a different set of treatments.
So tell us, what's the research telling us about the antidepressant medications and their impact on pregnancy?
Well, originally the research about antidepressant medication, particularly SSRIs, seemed to indicate that they were safe in pregnancy. We still feel on balance that they are safe in pregnancy, but there are some concerns that have been raised about using them during pregnancy.
Yes, there's been quite a bit of research trickling through just in the last few months, actually. What does that research tell us about the potential dangers? And I know they're very small.
Very small and not really clarified yet. And of course, it's so difficult to do research with women who are pregnant because you're surely not going to randomize women, one group getting medicine and one group not getting medicine. So there is some bias in evaluating the data. Having said that, there is a concern for pulmonary hypertension in the newborn. There's a concern that the newborn might go through some withdrawal, and there is a concern that perhaps there is a very slightly mild increased risk for autism spectrum disorders in these children.
So, autism spectrum disorders in the longer term, and was there some research recently that also talked about perhaps heart defects or...
Yes, that was another concern that's been raised. Overall, though, they are still considered to be safe and effective. Having said that, for any woman who's pregnant, if she can manage to go without medication, if her depression is not too severe, there are benefits to that.
And there are some alternatives. We've talked about exercise, cognitive behavioral therapy. I guess they're not using the magnet treatment yet for pregnancy, but the TMS. But there are other modalities that she might explore as well.
Right, and that actually goes back to your first question, because I do have very thoughtful women who will come to me and say, I know I'm at risk for depression, I've had bouts of depression before, or I'm depressed now and I'm hoping to become pregnant. What can I do before I become pregnant to make sure that I do as well as possible during my pregnancy? And those women tend to do very well.
What's your advice for them?
To get into therapy ahead of time and to master some of the issues that have been there for a while. And so that when they go into the pregnancy, hopefully at that time they're not depressed and they have a lot of tools in their toolbox to deal with their depression rather than it being a crisis when it sets on.
Excellent. So you put all those lifestyle practices in place, do the cognitive behavioral therapy, and plan a happy, healthy pregnancy.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Revival is the renewal of the spiritual energies of the soul. It has to do with a new commitment to Jesus every day. It leads us to a deeper experience in prayer. It leads us to the diligent study of God's Word and a life of service and Christian witness.
Welcome back. In this special series on exercise, we've shown you how to establish your baseline fitness level. But as you incorporate physical activity into your daily program, you're going to become fitter and stronger, and you want to progress that. So today, Coach Parker and I want to show you how to develop your fitness program as an ongoing thing. Coach, what does FIT stand for?
Frequency, intensity, and time.
So tell us, what frequency should we be exercising at?
We should be working at about 5 times per week.
And you know, if you're dealing with depression, you should make that 6. But some people can't start at that level, can they? What should they aim to start at?
You can start at 3, okay, and increase by 1 day until you get up to 5 times per week.
So you might start 3 times the first week, 4 times the next week, 5 times the week after.
Right.
All right. How might we increase intensity? Because we've put ourselves through that table. We've worked out that we might be working at, say, 35 to 45% intensity.
So if you're starting at 35, so for the first week, we're going to increase it by 5%, which means that we'd be going from 35 to 40.
All right. And then so each week, up it by 5%. What about the time? What might be a good starting time for someone who hasn't exercised before?
So for someone who hasn't exercised before, maybe 15 to 30 minutes is a good starting window to try to work out at.
So 15 minutes the first week, 20 minutes the second.
Exactly. Until we get all the way up to possibly 30 to 60 minutes for your workout.
Right. And with depression, we want to be working out for 60 minutes a day, 6 days per week. Now, you and I have a different level of fitness, let's say, and we want to work out together. How might we do that today?
So we're going to do 2 exercises. So you're going to be working on the floor.
All right.
So you're going to start off on the floor, and I'm going to start off on the bike.
Okay.
You're going to be doing what we call dead bug. So it's a core exercise. And at the same time, I'll be riding the bike. And when it's time to switch, we'll switch, and we'll switch positions.
All right. All right. I'll start batting some dead bugs around,
ready?
Hey? Yeah.
5 seconds. You got to hold them for 5 seconds. If I'm going to be working hard, you got to be working hard with me. All right?
Yeah.
Switch.
All right.
There you go. 5 seconds. Switch. All right. Heart rate's going up already. I'm ready to go. How do you feel?
Yeah, it feels good.
Okay. All right. We're going to go one more, and then we're going to switch. Ready?
Ready.
Go. All right.
Okay.
You're on. Get on up there.
All right.
And I'll get down here, and we're going dead bugs until you're ready to switch. All right. You ready? Holding these for 5 seconds. Switch. Oh. Gotta love this.
Okay, I got up to my heart rate target, so I'm gonna drop now and just do the really slow, let it drop for 20 beats per minute until it comes down, and then I can go hard again. All right, paid back that oxygen debt, did not get into the anaerobic range. And back I go, up again. All right, and I think I'm ready for a switch.
All right, so I know I am. Ready?
Excellent. I think that's probably gonna do it today. But you're probably going to want to keep doing that. You know, you'll just keep cycling through. You might have 4 exercises that you do
a
circuit.
So you go for time on that.
Time. And what sort of time are you suggesting? 30 seconds?
So I'm suggesting 30 seconds. So we cycle for 30 seconds while you're working on the floor for 30 seconds. And then after that 30 seconds, take about 30 seconds of rest in between the exercises before you go again.
All right. Well, you know, this is therapeutic exercise. And when you take your exercise, ideally be outdoors. Take in the beauty of your surroundings. This has been proven to boost your happy hormones. and choose to exercise near trees or water for added advantage of negative ions, which are great to re-establish balance in your body. Well, Coach Parker, thank you so much for coming, being with us this week. It's been wonderful. We've learned a lot.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Great.
Have you ever wondered if vegetarians get enough protein? If protection from wrist fractures is the measure, then plant proteins seem to be a good choice. Wondering where to find plant-based protein? Nuts are an excellent source, as are beans and legumes. Soy products like tofu and tempeh are protein-dense. And the Adventist Health Study found that increasing plant-based protein foods reduce the risk of wrist fracture in women by nearly 70%. Enjoying plant-based protein foods is another ageless advantage.
Welcome back. Now I'm going to answer some questions that you've texted, called, or posted on our Facebook page. Jill called from California. If a person is alcoholic, is it best to come off slowly or to stop suddenly? Well, Jill, by its very nature, tapering alcoholism is self-defeating. Withdrawal with support is definitely the way to go, but because seizures are one of the more serious side effects, there needs to be appropriate medical support and supervision for stopping a heavy, sustained drinking habit. Someone else called, I understand that magnesium can be a useful supplement, but it comes in different forms. Which form is best? You're right, magnesium comes in many different ways, but magnesium citrate and magnesium citrate are good at being absorbed well, and they have a good amount of available magnesium in them. So that was magnesium citrate and magnesium citramate. Another person called and asked, I don't like using painkillers. What juice can I use for arthritis pain? Well, veggie juice is good, as is fresh pineapple, either juiced or eaten. And then remember to eat olives and omega-3 fats like walnuts, flaxseed oil, or chia seeds. And then there are some other remedies that not related to juice, but like SAMe, glucosamine. Glucosamine, you just need to watch if you're vegetarian, you want to find a vegetarian source for that. Curcumin, boswellia, bromelain, and they're all natural anti-inflammatories, which have been shown to be able to replace arthritis medications. So give it a go. Someone else called and asked, is tofu okay for someone with diabetes, hypertension, and thyroid disease? Yes, with the thyroid disease, you don't want to overdo the tofu, but I would say once or twice a week is fine. I want to thank you for sending those questions. Call more questions in for me. I love to get them. The number's 855-400-HEALTHY. That's 855-400-4325. And remember, you can text us or post your questions on our Facebook page, and I'll pick them up and answer them for you. Now, Marsha is making terrific progress. Remember the first part of her story? Well, watch this.
If you can go to the 10-day program, it is completely worth it. It's just to have the whole thing, the diet, the exercise, the sleep, the helping thinking more clearly, more positively, learning how to use the Bible for your mental health, learning how much Jesus really did for us. And he suffered on the cross for us. And he took all that suffering that I'm going through, that our daughter goes through, that we go through, all of us. He took that suffering and he took it to the cross with him. So he suffered like we do. So to go to that program where you get that included with all the health part and the mental part, it's just do it. Well, of course, our hope is that we can see our daughter again and that she can learn the things that we've learned and be truly whole and have hope. if it never comes how we want it, we still know that we have God walking with us and doing everything he can to bring our daughter back and to help us continue to grow. I mean, I don't think we're ever done growing in this world. When I went, I felt like it was all my fault. I had done everything wrong, and the counselors were so helpful to help me see that it wasn't, and to keep my focus on God and how he has forgiven me, and he gives me hope for the future. He can heal our daughter, and he can bring us back together again. And even if things aren't how we want them, that we can still walk with him, and we can be whole in him, no matter what does or doesn't happen. So that's what I cling to.
Dr. Nedley, we're just discussing frontal lobe function, and you mentioned some games.
Yeah.
I always love to play. So tell me, what games can I play to improve my frontal lobe?
You know, most of the games available today are not frontal lobe enhancing games. I should mention that. If they have to do with the brain, they're more on memory types of things. So like Trivial Pursuit is not a frontal lobe game. It's simply a temporal lobe game, which has to do with memory. And so it's not really all that helpful. But there are games like Scrabble, for instance, that require both the temporal lobe and the frontal lobe, and that can be healthy for the brain. There's a game that's a very enjoyable game, but hardly used. You might have to look it up on eBay and buy it. It's called Mind Compatibility.
I haven't heard of that one.
And very enjoyable game, but yet very enhancing for the frontal lobe. And the company actually had discontinued it, but they just, another company picked it up and now has called it Compatibility. It's in a little different set. And so basically it's going to be a game that requires some analytical ability and some thinking, and maybe particularly if it's going to help bring out some positive psychology attributes in it, such as, you know, gratitude, other types of things, that's going to be very healthy for the brain. And so it's good to look at the content of games and make sure it's not just a temporal lobe game.
Yeah, nowadays when you mention games, people just think of video games, don't they? But these are real games.
These are real games. Yes.
And interactive games.
Exactly.
In a social context. It's not just between you and a screen.
Exactly.
I like it.
Yeah.
Now, gratitude. You know, 20 years ago, nobody researched gratitude because it was too soft and woolly and kind of furry. But nowadays, we're getting some good, robust data on gratitude. Tell us about some of that work.
Well, it's very interesting that if people actually do a daily gratitude journal or even a weekly gratitude journal where they're writing down what they're thankful for and even writing some deeper things, not just everything that they're thankful for, but why they're thankful for it specifically. Mm-hmm. And then we follow those people that are given that exercise versus those not given that exercise. And we find out that the people that have more gratitude in their life actually exercise more. They also have much better relationships, much closer relationships. It's a frontal lobe enhancement exercise. And it's also a memory enhancement exercise. To be thankful, you have to go back in your memory to see what you're thankful for, and then analyze why you're thankful for it, and then even try to analyze what would your life be without that person or what they did for you, and try to imagine that, you know, the absence of it, etc. And so there's been now a lot of studies published on the benefits of gratitude. We call it a positive psychology intervention, and we utilize it in our program with a lot of success.
Simple.
Simple.
Piece of paper and a pencil.
A paper, exactly.
I love it. So what else can we do for our frontal lobe? And that one's such a very practical thing to do.
Yes. Well, creativity turns out to be a frontal lobe phenomena. Mm-hmm. To be truly creative, we must be completely original, but also adaptive, meaning that originality is utilized in a positive light. And it turns out we have to have an above average IQ to be truly creative, but that means we have to have a frontal lobe that is fully functioning. And so creativity and daydreaming are opposites. The more we daydream, the less creative we are. And so there are some positive things that we can do for the frontal lobe. Some of the things that we've already talked about, like exercise, etc., but music has been shown to improve creativity. Just listening to Bach's Brandenburg Concerto No. 3.
Oh, yes, please.
For anyone, even if they're not used to it.
Yeah.
You know, this is music. You know, one of the things about healthy music, and I know we talked about that in a different segment, but healthy music actually is enjoyable to virtually everybody. You know, even the heavy metalist who might prefer heavy metal music will enjoy good music. It may not be what they prefer, but it's healthier for them. And as they listen to it more and more, good music also has a tendency to not get old. In other words, we actually hear newer things. That's why it's called classical, because it stands the test of time, and the more we hear it, actually the more enjoyable it can get. And so just listening to Bach's Brandenburg Concerto No. 3 has been shown in controlled studies to significantly improve creativity. It gives us a much more open window on the world instead of a narrow window. Mm. And it actually can improve our happiness as well.
Mm. Now, television is known to reduce creativity, right?
Yes, it does. Entertainment television reduces creativity, increases daydreaming, decreases your interest in learning, decreases your interest in reading. It actually increases your tendency to be violent and to be aggressive by twofold. And you know, one of the things in our society, we're talking about how to prevent some of this violence.
Yes.
One of the things it's not talk about is entertainment television has been shown in well-designed studies by Brandon Centerwall at Washington State to double the risk of violent crime, double murders, double rapes, double anti-violent crime.
Mm. And we're talking about gun control. We're getting to the real root of the problem, aren't
exactly.
we?
Well, exactly.
Thank you. That's very insightful. Now, of course, we're on TV telling you not to watch TV, but you know what we mean. Avoid the bad and don't overwatch the good. We still have lots to cover on today's show with Dr. Nedley, but before we take a break, here's a bon appetit. Garlic has been used as both food and medicine in many cultures for thousands of years, dating back to the time of the pyramids. During both world wars, soldiers were given garlic to prevent gangrene. It's loaded with antioxidants, which helps to destroy free radicals. Free radicals contribute to the aging process, to DNA damage, to heart disease and cancer. Garlic's been used to lower blood pressure, cholesterol, cancer, antibiotics, antivirals, and it's anti-inflammatory. Wow! Its pungent odor is due to the large amount of sulfur it contains, and that double sulfur bond gives it a unique property. It absorbs toxins. So remember to include garlic to your lineup of seasonings and make some garlic bread. Bon appetit.
There are many ways to support Hope Channel through immediate gifts and future gifts. Gifts of cash and property can easily be made through your will or trust. Gifts from your retirement plans are as simple as naming us as a beneficiary. You can even select a future gift that provides you generous, fixed income for life. If you would like to discuss which gift may be best for you, call 888-339-PLAN.
Welcome back. Remember to call us with your health question at 855-400-HEALTHY. Now, before we go to Loma Linda, California, to learn more on depression from Dr. Nedley, let's see how far George has come.
And it was a great program. My depression, after we did our test at the end, depression and anxiety were down to just about nothing. My emotional intelligence score increased dramatically. In fact, I think at that point I had the highest increase of the class at that time. And since then, I'm not perfect. You know, every day isn't an absolute jumping up down joy. I'm learning. You know, it's a process. I didn't get there in just a few weeks or overnight. It was decades, in fact, a whole lifetime that got me to the point where I was. So we're vegan at home. She does the cooking and all. And when we go out, we're vegetarian as much as we can be when we go out to eat. And so, you know, the diet has helped quite a bit, and the exercise. Again, I'm thinking differently. I'm thinking more positively. And actually, the big thing, when Paula asked me to come and do this, I started thinking and looking back in it. And I had to really stop and think, well, what was I like before then? Because I hadn't been thinking anymore what I used to be like. And I haven't been looking at the past and blaming it. I've been living, you know, for now. But what used to take, you know, 24 hours to get over, I'm now over it, you know, in 10 minutes or 15 minutes. And just the other day, we had a brief spat, which didn't even last 2 minutes. And, you know, 15 minutes later, we were apologizing and making up. And I'm not carrying that around with me right now. I'm not hanging on to that and just looking at that for the last 2 or 3 days. My children, actually, my wife wrote them without my knowing and wanted to tell me the things they've noticed in me. And they've seen that I'm more tolerant. I am able to communicate better and to listen to other people's points of view and ideas. I'm happier. They've seen I'm just a more pleasant individual. So these are things I've never asked them and didn't realize until coming to this weekend that that's how they see me. But when I was really into the depression and to that bottom point, I didn't feel I had a future anymore. I felt my marriage was basically done. There was nothing more I could do for my kids. I felt hopeless and with no future. And that's the problem with depression. And that's just the darkness that you live in. You get to the point where you feel that there is nowhere else. And that's the ultimate tragedy of it, is people finally get to that and realize and are convinced that there's nothing that can help them. And there is. There are so many things there that we could be doing to be helped, and life can become worth living again. And I do that. I don't know what the future brings. It is uncertain to me in certain regards, as it is for anybody. And yet that future is there, and you can shape it to be what you want it to be.
Clearly for George, he's enjoying his new EQ. His interpersonal relationships, they're on a new level. Now let's go to Loma Linda and get a final piece of advice from Dr. Nedley. Dr. Nedley, you mentioned that the frontal lobe is the seat of morality.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me think about my conscience.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm directly opposing what my conscience is telling me is morally right,
mm-hmm.
that presumably does some frontal lobe damage.
It does. Yeah, it actually suppresses the frontal lobe. So when we go against our conscience, we have a tendency to feel guilty, which is a good thing, actually. Appropriate guilt is good because it's a powerful motivator to change.
Right.
But as we particularly continually go against our conscience, our frontal lobe begins to suppress so we don't feel as guilty. And pretty soon we may not feel guilty at all, but the end result of that is the frontal lobe is severely suppressed in order to not have that guilt show up, so to speak.
Wow.
And so many individuals with mental health problems have done things that are actually hideous and harmful on a repeated basis, to the point where their frontal lobe has become so suppressed that they don't have control over their emotions.
Oh.
And that's why frontal lobe enhancement is a key, as well as the process of getting the guilt back so that you can go through appropriate repentance and forgiveness and experience a renewal and improved circulation to the frontal lobe of the brain.
Now, you mentioned also that the Bible, the Word of God, was important here in treatment. So do we start at the beginning? Where do we start? Where's a good spot?
Well, a good place to start, where we start in depression recovery, is the Book of Daniel. Every chapter in the Book of Daniel starts out with a disappointment and ends with an appointment but there's a spiritual key that transforms the story from disappointment to appointment. And so as we analyze the spiritual key, and these are spiritual keys that people from all faiths, you know, Daniel is revered by the Muslims and the Jews and the Christians. But as we study those spiritual keys on what transformed the story and analyze that and then endorse those and embrace those spiritual keys, our frontal lobe significantly improves. And the first six chapters are basically stories. There's one little prophecy there in chapter two that also helps with the story. And so there's seven spiritual keys in the first six chapters. There's two spiritual keys in Daniel chapter two, which is the longest of those.
Right.
And then the final six chapters, we get into advanced frontal lobe functions because we're thinking on a level of symbols. There's interpretation. You know, the only way we can interpret Proverbs, for instance, is to have an intact frontal lobe. And so we call that advanced frontal lobe function. And it's powerful. And everyone from all walks of life enjoys those stories and can start to embrace those spiritual principles that are going to enhance their own frontal lobe in the process.
Now you mentioned Proverbs. Is that another book that you're
Proverbs is another book, yeah. In fact, there's 31 chapters in Proverbs and 31 days in most months. So if you want to know what chapter to read, whatever day of the week it is, get it out and read that particular chapter and then analyze, particularly we like to narrow it down for the individual, what three texts were important to you and why they were important so we can begin that analytical exercise on the abstract. And that's helpful as well.
So that can go along with your gratitude journal.
Yeah,
be your Proverbs journal. What about the Psalms?
Right, Psalms are good too. Yeah, the Psalms
there's
are good too.
There's lots of gratitude in the Psalms, aren't there?
There is, yes. And there's lots of emotions in the Psalms too, and we can kind of analyze some of those emotional transformations that take place in the Psalm itself. And an analysis of that can be helpful as well.
And, you know, you're bringing in, many people say, well, religion, it's just a crutch. And we're bringing that in here on a program about depression. But we know that religiosity and health go hand in hand.
As well as depression. People
as well as mental health.
Duke did a study and they showed people with higher religiosity scores improved significantly quicker and better. And so...
After a heart attack.
Yeah. Yes.
Nothing to do with the brain, mental health. It's not a crutch.
Yes.
It's our health, our heart.
Well, and the frontal lobe, this is really what sets us apart from other creatures, is our ability to worship. You know, you don't see cats and dogs going to a worship service because their frontal lobe isn't large enough. But our frontal lobe, 33 up to 38% of the human brain is in the frontal lobe. We are worshipful creatures. And as we stimulate that worshipful atmosphere, it does improve the frontal lobe.
Wow, and that has got to be the highest thing that we can do each day, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Well, there's plenty of life-giving homework for us. If you want more from Dr. Nedley, please go to his website, drnedley.com. The tools that we've given you this week can make the difference in your life and in those around you. Apply them to your own life and make a difference. Fortify your mind with truth and especially with the truths of Scripture. And we'll be praying that very soon you'll be living a vibrant and joy-filled life. Thanks for joining us on Go Healthy for Good. I'll see you next time.